It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Worst trade since Herschel Walker was traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Minnesota Vikings. And Joe Biden has put us, as GM of the United States of America, in the position of the Vikings. Two, let's hear from you. Why you listen to the Will Cain Podcast. Three, my picks in football and football for this weekend. It's the Will Cain Podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to the weekend. Welcome to Friday. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment. Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. So, here's where I am. I'm sitting at the dinner table last night. I have two sons with two very different personalities. One's a pleaser. He's nice. He's a rule follower. The other... well, I haven't quite put my finger yet on my second son. And he turns to me and he says something, and I don't remember the predicate for this statement, but I had taken him to soccer practice that night. And he said, "What were you doing over there?" I know what it was. I had a legal pad that I take notes on as I sat in the stands of his soccer practice and watched him practice. I took notes for my potential conversation here with you. He goes, "What were you doing with that legal pad? Were you taking notes on me?" No, although there's a potential that I could do that from time to time. I wouldn't put it past me as a soccer dad. But no, I was preparing for the Will Cain Podcast. What? You know, standing over there with your legal pad, you know, in your jeans. Like, my jeans? What are you talking about? Yeah, I was wearing jeans. What's wrong with jeans? You just look like a dad. Well, I am a dad, but I was taken aback. Like, what is this 11-year-old all of a sudden think he has over me? Why is he cooler than me? This didn't happen with my first son. In fact, he, maybe to his detriment, followed some of my fashion. I generally think, you know, I wouldn't say I'm at the forefront, but I'm on top of it. I'm not letting myself get stuck. You know how most middle-aged dudes just stop, you know? At some point, your fashion and your cultural tastes keep up with the progress of the zeitgeist of whatever is in modern American pop culture. You keep up, you keep up, you keep up, and then you stop. You just stop. I have two buddies that come to mind, one in Texas and one in New York, that just stopped in about 1998. Whatever it was they were wearing in 1998 is what they're wearing today. And I get it, these kids, these stupid fashions, you know. I get it, these new musical tastes. It's not even music. I get where they're coming from. But look, man, like, our clothes are a little more fitted than they were in 1998, you know? That dress shirt's a little baggy. Those jeans aren't cut in a way that is flattering. And in 1998, nobody wore flattering jeans, but today it's an option. But you stopped. I didn't stop, but I'm not at the forefront. But here now is this 11-year-old who thinks he's got everything over me. He's like, "Your tennis shoes, your Adidas. What is this? Sometimes your cowboy boots, sometimes your Adidas." I'm like, "What is this? You know? What is this where you think you get to make fun of me? You wear basketball shorts to every occasion. I could be taking you to a church communion or to basketball practice, and you would be dressed the same way." Just pick one, boots or tennis shoes. I'm like, "Why do I have to pick?" So this is how it's going. And he's like, "You're standing over there looking all dad with your, I don't even know what that is you're wearing." And I'm like, "It's a sweatshirt." And he's laughing. He's like, "What's a sweatshirt?" I'm like, "What do you mean, what's a sweatshirt?" He's like, "It doesn't even have a hood on it." I'm like, "The only hoodies that have hoods are the only form of sweatshirt that you know? I don't know. What is that? What is that?" And so he's just killing me, man, from literally top to bottom. I'm sure he got in a few shots at my haircut as well. Because, of course, you're familiar. I hope you're familiar with the way they're wearing their hair these days. You know, the modern day young man's haircut, you know, I'd say from like high school down, it really looks like that you know, they willingly gave themselves a swirly. You know, remember swirlies? They stuck their head in the toilet and flushed it and then got out and shook it like a sheepdog and said, perfect. It's like a perm. They got a perm, but they want to wet the perm so it like hangs down. It's really the white boy Jerry curl, if you think about it. It's a white boy Jerry curl, and it's coming down on the forehead and on the ears and in the back all at the same length. It's a white boy Jerry curl or a mom haircut. It looks like, you know, a 57-year-old mom haircut, maybe from 1998. That's what your boys are walking around thinking is cool. So, I mean, forgive me if I don't think my jeans and my sweatshirt have somehow phased me out. Anyway, that's where I am today. That and concern over a case of avian pink eye. My wife had some friends come visit us this past weekend, and they came up from Austin, and I guess, as you do, they brought a housewarming gift, which was like 2 dozen eggs from the chickens they have in their backyard. And that's cool. That's nice. It's a nice thing to do. I like eggs. Big egg guy, you know? Egg sandwich, breakfast taco. Love me some eggs. And I do love the idea of some natural eggs, you know, straight from the chicken, not through the chicken farm. You know, they're all sitting in some kind of tight cage, just popping eggs out like Pez. Maybe some natural eggs. I like it. But my wife says, hey, those eggs, they sit out. They don't go in the fridge. And don't clean them. Don't clean them? Yeah, don't clean them. Leave them like that until you're ready to eat them. That's what they told us. And then wash them once you're ready to eat them. I said, huh? Why? She said, I don't know. Said something about like the natural state of the egg and the gunk on it keeps it fresh longer than if you washed them all and then sat them out for a while. I don't know if it's true or not, but I notice that the older I get, that I rely more on, I heard that. So I don't know. Makes sense. I heard recently, don't wash the eggs until you're ready to eat them. So I did. I let the eggs sit there. And the other day I was making a sandwich and I picked up the eggs to wash them. You know, and I kind of looked at them and I was like, oh, yeah, wow, there's a lot of gunk. I mean, there's literal crap on this eggshell and a lot. And so, yeah, I need to wash this thing. So I started to wash and I was like, there's enough that this isn't that easy. So I set it down. I think I adjusted some. And then I touched my face. I'm a big face toucher. Can't help it. Don't know what to do about that. Big face toucher. So I touched my eye and I didn't know if I touched it with the hand that had been handling this unwashed egg or the other hand. Wasn't sure. Just know I'd touched my eye. Now I'm like, well, that sounds like how you start a coronavirus. I mean, I have definitely avian bird flu on my hands and in my eyeball. And that's really how you get pink eye. So now my mind is racing, right? Now I've got avian COVID pink eye, and that's coming for sure. I did go ahead and finish washing the eggs and eat my egg sandwich, which was a little grosser after this whole set of, you know, mental floor routine, Olympic gymnastics I was going through in my head. It just didn't have quite the same taste. So, oh well, a little extra Tapatio on the breakfast sandwich. But anyway, that's where I am today. Story number one. Brittany Griner comes home and it's the worst trade for the United States of America since Herschel Walker was traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Minnesota Vikings. It was announced yesterday that the Biden administration had negotiated a prisoner swap with Russia for the return of WNBA star Brittany Griner to the United States of America. In exchange for Brittany Griner, the United States would return war criminal, nicknamed the Mercenary of Death, Victor Boot. There's a third character in this drama whose name you should be familiar. His name is Paul Whelan. He's a former Marine who was in Russia, he alleges, for a friend's wedding. He was arrested 2 years prior to Brittany Griner's arrest for what the Russians allege was espionage. He remains behind the lines in Russia, and Brittany Griner goes free. Let's walk through this story through the prism of those three characters, and maybe it will shed some light on why I say this is a terrible trade for the United States of America. First, Brittany Griner. I think every single one of us can step back and say we are very happy for Brittany Griner. The major prism through which I see this story is that Brittany Griner is an American. Not that she's black, not that she's white, not that she's female, nor if she were male. Not that she's a celebrity or an WNBA star. All that I care about in the return of Brittany Griner is that she is American. Griner was arrested in Russia for carrying what amounted to a vape pen of cannabis, oil, wax, over some prescribed illegal amount in Russia. She'd been playing in Russia as a way to supplement her professional basketball income. Many WNBA players do that. They go to Russia because they can actually get bigger paychecks from Russian oligarchs than they can in the truly capitalist market of the United States of America when it reflects the popularity of the WNBA. So Griner, traveling, broke the laws of Russia and was arrested in Russia and has been imprisoned since last February for 10 months. Regardless of whether or not she broke the laws of that country, we can step back and say that the punishment for that minor infraction doesn't meet any modern definition of justice. Certainly not one that we would adopt right here in the West. So to see Brittany Griner come home is a victory. Staying on the subject of Brittany Griner, it's a shame if the lesson from the return of Brittany Griner is that the bigger your celebrity, the greater your access to justice. I know. Many people listening might go, what are you talking about? What's new about that revelation? O.J. Simpson taught us that celebrity demands a different justice. That doesn't mean I have to accept that standard. That doesn't mean I have to celebrate that standard, especially in the context of leaving behind a United States Marine. Brittany Griner was a cause celeb, literally. She was a Twitter hashtag. She was, in the end, and this isn't really a reflection of Brittany, but rather of our culture, she was a virtue signal. In part because it's who we knew. People have heard of Brittany Griner. They haven't heard of Paul Whelan. But also it became a story, like so many in the United States of America, over race. It also became a story wrapped up in the war in Ukraine. And the Biden administration, as it all too often does, pays attention, in my estimation, not to principles or to justice, but to what satisfies the Twitter hashtag, what satisfies the cause celeb. Now, I don't think it would have been easy. I don't sit here today and say, oh, I think the Biden administration was happy to leave behind the former Marine, Paul Whelan. But I have to think that you have given up a major negotiating chip in returning any unjustly held American, and in fact, perhaps incentivized the further kidnapping of Americans overseas when you go about releasing someone like Victor Boot. Let's move now to Victor Boot. Victor Boot is the prisoner here in the United States of America that was returned in exchange for Brittany Griner. Who is Victor Boot? Nicknamed the Mercenary of Death, he was an international arms dealer. He, as it's described in 60 Minutes and by former DEA agents in that piece, is described as one of the worst human beings on the face of this planet. He is at least in part responsible for the creation of the African child soldier. You can picture the image the 11-year-old, hopped up on drugs, carrying an AK-47. If there was an African warlord ready to commit genocide, to commit war crimes, where did he go to get his weapons? Almost inevitably, to Victor Boot. If you were an international drug cartel looking to continue your war abroad or at home, hanging heads from bridges in Mexico, where did you go to get your arsenal? You went to Victor Boot. If you were an international terrorist, perhaps affiliated with Iran or ISIS or Al-Qaeda, and you wanted to attack the United States of America, where did you go to get your bomb materials? You went to Victor Boot. Boot made a fortune selling surplus arms from the fallen Soviet Union to the world's worst men. He was ultimately arrested here in the United States. His life has been laid out in a Hollywood movie. You can go watch it. I've seen it more than once. It's called Lord of War. It stars Nicolas Cage as Victor Boot. You should check it out. It is a stylized Hollywood version of this monster. Victor Boot is who we gave back to Russia in exchange for Brittany Griner. How much safer are we today as Americans? How did that serve our interests? You know, I said at the beginning of this is the worst trade since Herschel Walker was traded from the Cowboys to the Vikings. I know that can make this very serious story seem like I'm approaching it in a flippant manner, but I don't think it's totally worthless. Think about this. This is a negotiation. This is a trade. And there are trade-offs for the United States of America. If we're going to release and give up Victor Boot, we have to understand that we are trading away several things. At the top of the list, we're trading away our security, or at least some degree of our security. If we're putting this man back on the street and perhaps back into business, we're putting Americans more at risk. What more? Simply by making this trade, we are incentivizing bad guys to say, hey, want to get one of our ISIS comrades, our Al-Qaeda comrades, released from Guantanamo? Take an American hostage and see if you can negotiate an exchange with an administration like that of Joe Biden. You are trading away some semblance of American security, and therefore it's not flippant to say, what do we get in return? And look, we got some semblance of justice for a minor celebrity in the United States of America, but we majorly got in return a PR victory for the Biden administration in racking up a win on the side of the cause celeb in Brittany Griner. Meanwhile, we left behind, and maybe it wasn't a doable deal. Maybe there's no circumstances where Vladimir Putin would release Paul Whelan, but we left behind the Marine, who's been in custody longer than Brittany Griner. Now, Whelan says he was there to attend a friend's wedding. Whelan has multiple passports across this world. He has lived in numerous countries, but among them the United States of America, where he served again in the United States military. When he was in Russia, he apparently received a flash drive that contained Russian state secrets. He was arrested and he is held by the Russians as an international spy. Whelan says that he was the subject of a sting operation that a Russian duped him into, entrapment style, receiving this flash drive that he thought contained wedding photos. Now, I don't know. I don't know what's true. I don't know whether or not Whelan was a tourist or a spy. But I do know that if you're going to turn over someone as consequential and trade away such weight in degrees of our own security in Victor Boot, you ought to be able to get back somebody whose worst accusation was they spied for the United States of America. I've referenced it several times. Herschel Walker was traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Minnesota Vikings. I believe it was in 1989. It's one of the most notorious trades in NFL history. The Vikings got the celebrity. They got Herschel Walker, who had been, obviously, an amazing college running back and NFL running back up to that point. The Cowboys got back a whole host of draft picks that set them up for a future dynasty. With those draft picks, they loaded them up in the 90s and won 3 Super Bowls. Herschel Walker and the Vikings went nowhere, and Herschel Walker's professional football career ultimately went south from that point. Let us hope that this bad trade for the United States of America isn't and doesn't turn out the way it did for those two football teams. Let us hope we didn't get back a celebrity and trade away our security to a building dynasty in Russia.
All right, we're going to step aside here for just a moment. Stay tuned.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
Story number 2. Why do you listen to the Will Cain podcast? Last week, I asked you to share with me through my email, cwillcain@gmail.com, why it is you listen to the Will Cain podcast. I thought it might be interesting for all of us here together to go through some of those responses. Here's why I think it's interesting. First of all, I want to tell you what it's not. It's not me, 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 me. Okay? I said this in our interview with Tucker Carlson right here on the Will Cain podcast. I really appreciate how rarely Tucker uses the prism of I. If you will notice, on many different news channels, on many different programs, every story is filtered through the pronoun of I. Everything is about the first person. And the reason that it is because most interaction, I think in humanity, interpersonal and through mass media, is projection. In other words, what I'm saying, or what I'm thinking, or what I'm wearing, whatever I am presenting, is designed to put forward an image. It's a projection of who I want you to think I am. I think when people go onto various news channels and talk about how this injustice affects me, or how my own personal life experience informs this story in this way, what they're really, more often than not, but not all the time, but more often than not, doing is crafting an image for you of who they want you to think they are. I hope I'm not cynical in that, but I don't think very many people look or communicate with a level of authenticity that their words are truly just something that they mean. What I don't want to do here today is be someone that violates the very thing that I appreciate there with Tucker. He lets his ideas stand for what they are, ideas. He doesn't say, I think this because I grew up this way, or I think this because I'm of this skin color, or I think this because I experienced this tragedy. We all have those experiences in our life, and it's not that they're unimportant, and it's not that they're not worth sharing, but they can't be the only prism through which we see the world. A podcast is different than a television show. With you, I share much more of my personal life than I do on Fox and Friends or when I guest host for Tucker Carlson. Here, you and I talk more about the process and the way that we get to certain ideas, and that's why it's interesting to me why you listen to the Will Cain podcast. Not because it forwards any image of me, not because I want to craft some projection for you, but because I want to be knee-deep in the process of self-awareness and betterment and actually the communication back and forth with you. I do think I want to understand myself better in this world, and I think that for many of you, from what I read, you appreciate that because you too want to be better. So let's see, as we look through this, why some of you listen to the Will Cain podcast. All right, we'll start with Dan Greenbank. I don't have, by the way, any real order I want to go through here, but I'm going to go through a few, and we'll comment as we go. Dan writes in, Hey, Will, longtime fan on Fox. I didn't catch you when you were on ESPN, but I've watched you on Fox and have been listening to your podcast. I love the podcast. I catch it at least a couple of times a week. I like that there's different stories that are varied, some sports, some politics, current events, and history. I got that feedback a lot, which was really interesting to me that many of you like, you know, sometimes I wonder, oh, is the politics audience, do they like the sports stuff? And the sports audience, I'm sure a bunch of them are, in, you know, perhaps gone or not from what I read here. The sports audience, I worry, is are they out on the politics? Interestingly, with many of you that wrote in, that's what you like, is the mix of those topics. Dan goes on, I really like it when you have guests on. When Pete was on, that was good. I like the banter that happens between you guys. Generally, you have very insightful guests, and I enjoyed listening to them, and your questioning of them, like hearing things that you would like to have asked. He's talking about himself, I think. Or that I want to ask or say on Fox and Friends, but I'm not allowed the opportunity because I don't have the time or I can't go into the detail. And he likes the behind-the-scenes stuff as well. He also enjoys my sense of humor. I appreciate that, Dan. I also love hanging out with Pete. It's a genuine friendship for what it's worth. I'm just trying to think, like, in my career, look, I liked Stephen A. I really do. I like Stephen A to this day. I like Russillo, Ryan Russillo. But even Ryan and I didn't get to hang out. We talk on the phone sometimes. We didn't get to go have beers or spend time you don't have to spend with each other together. I do that, Pete and I do. We go out. Now that we're both commuters on the weekends from time to time, we hang out, whatever it may be. I think I can genuinely say we are friends. All right. Eric Gilby writes in, here's why I like the Will Cain podcast. The things you say and your point of view on many issues on your podcast are the way many Americans feel and think, but too many people like me that are just hardworking Americans and don't have a platform to make our voices heard. I'm just a blue-collar truck driver from Arkansas. That reminds me of somebody else. Let me read something else someone had said about why they listen. Hold on real quick. This is from Charlie Levine, or Levine. He said, hey, man, I've been riding you since with the days at ESPN with Russillo. Speaking of Russillo, it's still the best 1-2 punch they had on radio. I listen to the Will Cain podcast because it's refreshing to hear a rational, logical perspective from someone who isn't afraid of being canceled. That both of you are getting at something similar, Charlie and hold on, Eric. I will tell you, I don't think it's any, I've never been afraid of being canceled. And so if I can be a voice for people that don't feel like they have an opportunity or that they run the risk of being canceled, that's a huge honor for me. That reminds me of this. Did you guys see this week, Jordan Peterson, who I'm a big fan, as I'm sure you are, of Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson went on Twitter and he said something that I really honestly couldn't believe. Jordan Peterson tweeted out this. He said, by failing to separate the anonymous cowardly troll demons from real people in the comments section, YouTube and other social media platforms are enabling sadistic Machiavellian psychopaths and narcissists. Whew. That's worth reading twice. By failing to separate the anonymous cowardly troll demons from real people in the comments section, social media is enabling sadistic Machiavellian psychopaths and narcissists. Agree or disagree? Okay, and I saw that. I'm like, well, here's the funny thing. Maybe I could hit agree on that. You're enabling, in his words, sadistic Machiavellian psychopaths and narcissists by letting just anybody post what they want on social media, right? No accountability, anonymously. Yeah, okay. Maybe you are enabling some people like that. But that doesn't lead you to wanting to do away with anonymity on the internet. Peterson also tweeted the following. He's mocking this quote. I'm only anonymous so I can continue to do good. Excuse my skepticism, sunshine. It's not like you're that good. This is incredibly disappointing from Jordan Peterson, who has been an absolute warrior for free speech. One of the first to take on the issue of forcing pronouns and an alternate reality onto other people. He was at the forefront on issues over trans ideology or even feminism. But this is incredibly disappointing. Anonymity is absolutely integral to free speech. It's because we acknowledge there's a price to pay for free speech. You know, Eric and Charlie here talk about that I'm not afraid of being canceled. But I could have been. You know, and there's many people that have been. And if you are under threat of being canceled, we can't let that then turn into self-censorship. And oh, it does. Let me tell you something. I've seen that firsthand. You know what? I bet I've battled it myself on occasion. Don't say that. I'm doing it. Not very often, to be honest. But self-censorship is as insidious. I don't want to say it's as insidious as government censorship. But in terms of, you know, cultivating a free society with free thought, self-censorship at the threat of cancellation is huge. And if you have to be anonymous in order to let those free thoughts rise, so be it. The United States of America was founded on some anonymous documents published in newspapers in the 1700s. Publius is famous. We still don't know for sure who was Publius, but he wrote all kinds of treatises on free thought and first principles. Now, I don't think every internet troll is Publius, whatever. I don't think every internet anonymous troll is up to no good. I think many are, as Peterson describes here, sadistic Machiavellian psychopaths and narcissists. But look, Jordan Peterson talks a lot about being tough in this world, right? Hard men. You got to be able to suffer through a few harsh comments, Jordan. You got to do that to be tough and to also, as the price to pay for free thought and free society. It's not actually that big of a price. Don't read the comments. But don't sacrifice anonymity, or in the end, I'm not sure how much you ultimately really support the concept of free speech. By the way, Eric went on to say, while he listens to the Will Cain podcast, I'd have to say that you have made me a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. Between you and my wife, who is a lifelong fan of the Cowboys, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing to have become a Dallas fan. I used to think Cowboys fans were overbearing, wishful thinking fans. And now, Eric, you are one. Congratulations. Another one for the home team. Dennis Holmes from Boonsville, Missouri, writes in and says, "You're now one of the three podcasts that I unfailingly listen to, including Ben Shapiro and Buck Sexton. I believe you are in good company," says Dennis. Go Chiefs. I agree. That is good, good company. David Linder says the following. "Hey, been a big fan since your ESPN days, particularly First Take." Hey, by the way, I'm super humbled by that. That's several of these notes, and I got a lot of them. You've been riding with me for a long time, Rosillo, First Take, ESPN, The Will Cain Show. I cannot tell you how grateful I am to you. I'm also grateful for the new fans that have found me since I've arrived at Fox or who are still discovering the Will Cain podcast. But I am so grateful that you have stuck with me through these times. And it makes me wonder why. And here's why, David says. "I've always appreciated your takes and thoughts on stuff because you always had a reasonable explanation and argument with things. I found it funny how haters would try to paint you as a privileged or racist person, which I've never seen or believed. You have a thing which I feel is going away in society. It's called critical thinking. And once you went the political route, I followed. Man, I really appreciate that. I try to." This is why we're even doing this exercise. I'm so bogged down in the question of why. My son comes home from a game. "No, I didn't play that great." Why? I mean, there's no, like, if we don't figure out why, then we don't take control of the situation. I do know that my happiness is rooted in control. I do know that about myself. That's why I need, like, I'm real into the accountability culture stuff. And it's not because I'm trying to be holier than thou. It's because I have control issues. Like, I'm most unhappy when I feel out of control. And I'm happy to fail if I'm in control. So I have to delve into why. And some of it is, I'm sure, paralysis by analysis, but why did that soccer practice or soccer game not go well? If you can figure that out, then maybe we can make it so it isn't the case in the future. Why do I think the way that I think? How did I get to this conclusion? It's very important to me because it helps me the next time an issue comes up, figure out where I'm going to be. And yeah, man, it's funny. I've had this conversation, David, on several occasions, like, was First Take good or bad for me? First Take was great for my career. It put me on the map in a lot of ways, made me more well-known or more infamous. But it really only shone me in one light. And that's why I was so happy to get the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, because people got to see more of who I am, right? Like, if you only do 10-minute segments once or twice a week on race issues, and it's always against a black guy, by the way, it's always going to be like, pro-social justice, anti-social justice, black guy, white guy. It's like all the, you know, superficial trappings of television say, not racist, racist guy, right? That's just like, you're immediately in that box. And now it's my job to fight my way out of that box, but I just wasn't going to do it by going, hey guys, I promise I'm not racist. I'm just going to do it by once again, delving into the issues and the ideas and hope for the best. For many, the best wasn't good enough, but I appreciate it was for you, David. All right, Lana Wirtz writes in, your podcast gives me a little more time with my TV friend. We joke at home that all my friends are on Fox and Friends. My favorite thing is when you get real and personal. Many of you have become people who we think of on Saturdays or Sundays, and we love it if you talk about the NFL or 75 Hard. Also, thanks for the Born Primitive genes from my husband. Thank you, Lana. I'm glad to be a real person. I want to read three more, if you'll forgive me, okay? And two of them are long, but they're interesting. All right, first of all, Eddie Curtis writes in. Starts with this. I got to be honest. You are right. You are a slow burn. It's true. I'm a slow burn. I first saw you on First Take, and I did not like you for whatever reason. However, I started listening to you when you had your own show on ESPN Radio. I used to listen to it every day going to work and realized that how you came across on First Take, that's what we were just talking about, is not how you were. You reminded me more of how me and my group of friends are, how you would interact with your crew on the show. Miss those guys. Nuno, Cerruti, Bubba, Mike A., Pat. I found it funny how you would make everything into such a complicated event. For example, your Venn diagram when you're trying to pick a dog breed. Yes, I do things. I make things more complicated than they have to be. Long story short, I listened because of the same way you talk about presidential candidates, that it seems like someone you can have a beer with. That's how I feel about you. You seem like someone I'd love to sit back and BS about stuff and have a beer. You are 100% authentic. What you see is what you get, which is rare. Eddie, my man, I really appreciate you. Okay, now, these last couple of things, I want to read in a little more detail because they're longer because I found them really interesting. I won't read the whole thing. I won't bog this down too much. But all right, first, Philip Beal, okay? Now, I recognize Philip from social media, Philip, and I really appreciate you. I didn't really know who you were in detail like you wrote here. But you represent, I think, I hope, some people out there that listen. Hey, Will, I don't watch news on TV anymore. I don't watch much in the way of sports talk either. I listen to podcasts. I like Ryan Russillo for many years and was excited you were when you joined him. Then that fell through and I found my favorite show in the Will Cain Show. I work construction all week, so I am a bivocational pastor. That's cool. I'm conservative in my religious beliefs and political views, and it was refreshing to see someone more aligned with me in the sports broadcasting world. Then you left for Fox. I don't really watch you on Fox, but was excited when you started your own podcast. I was hoping it would mostly be sports, but I mainly listen to you for sports. When it comes to politics, you and I don't align much anymore. I'm still conservative, but I'm not a nationalist. I'm not a never-Trumper, but I'm not a Trump on the Trump train either. The Democratic Party is way too far liberal and progressive for me, so I'm a man without a party. I listen to political views from all over the spectrum because anymore, people's personal ideology affects how they see everything. So other than sports, it's good to listen to you to see someone who was like me, but that the political landscape changed, and listen to that someone who took a different path than I did. And then he goes on, I'll say this. On a positive note, I've been overweight most of my life and was working on getting fit when you started talking about 75 Hard. I started when you started and I finished and have now gone on to many different challenges to stay fit, so I can't thank you enough. I'm thinking about hitting 75 Hard again at the beginning of the year if you're interested. You guys can follow Philip on Instagram at an adventurous life. There's some underscores between every word. Senior pastor, Homer Christian Union Church. Okay, Philip. Awesome in so many ways. If I put you on a path to being better in any way, I'm like beyond touched. Beyond. I love it. Okay. If you can help one person in this world, truly, like we sit here with a microphone and a platform and who knows how many thousands of people listening. And the truth is, if you can just make the world better by a margin, then I think then you've largely made the step of answering the question of why we are here. Okay? So I was talking to two different buddies. This is fascinating to me. And both have been really successful. Somewhat recently for one. I'm talking about a lot of money, right? And I was really happy for him. And one of them was saying something really interesting to me. He was saying, you know what? What I've come to the realization of is I'm not that impressed with myself. And it just reminded me of this thing this other buddy had told me, who'd been really successful as well. And he said, it's actually, once you arrive at that moment, okay, in this case, largely financial payoff. Once you arrive at that moment, it's disappointing how disappointing it is. It's disappointing how unfulfilling is that accomplishment. Okay, look, I think we all have ambitions and success that we strive for in life, right? I know I do. But to hear these two guys say something similar, they don't know each other, say something similar. And it just is really interesting. Well, I wanted to share with you the words of my other friend. I know. Oh, so here's what the words of my other friend was. He said, I realized I'm not that impressed with myself. Isn't that interesting? You set as your goal this thing. I got to accomplish this. This is what I'm fighting for. I want this. Maybe recognition, maybe financial payoff. And then you achieve it. And you're like, ugh, that didn't fill the hole or that didn't do the trick. And even more so, like it's like this accomplishment, right? That I've been grinding at. And I did it. And I'm not impressed with myself. I don't know, man. I find that so fascinating. And you can take it and you go, well, continue to raise your bar. Raise your bar and make that the next ambition. Push harder and go do. Or you can take it and say, you'll never be impressed with yourself if that is the barometer. Now, look, man, I don't know my barometer. I said to my friend the same thing. I said, look, you know, I don't know. I don't know when I die what it is that I want to be able to look at my grandchildren and say that it is that I did. And I think that some of the things that I'm fighting for aren't it. I know that in real time as I'm fighting. I think that one of the lessons there is be careful what you fight for, right? Be careful what you put your nose to the grindstone over because you just might get it. But I know I want to build something. I know that. But more, my suspicion is for any of us, children, spouse, stranger, if we can make one person's life better, and then two maybe, and then three, and then maybe four, it's the only time that we might sit back and go, I'm impressed with myself. And my suspicion will be, it won't even matter. You won't need at that point to be impressed with yourself. As for the rest of what you had to say, Philip, listen, man, I appreciate you listening. Even when you say I don't reflect your values or your politics, better yet, your politics at this point, I am a nationalist. There is no doubt about it. I am a nationalist, but I'm a nationalist because I believe in the principles. I believe in first principles. I believe in the ideas. And I know because I know history that they were enshrined here in a unique way that has never been emulated. And in order to protect the ideas, the principles, you have to protect the nation. You have to. Think that through, Philip. I'm sure there are things you believe in. I know there is. You're a man of faith. I'm sure there are also principles beyond those in faith that you believe in. What's the mechanism to preserve them? Are they here? Are they embodied in the United States of America? If so, how do you preserve them? If not here, where? That's, I think, the tool, the purpose of a people, a culture of nationalism. All right, finally, one more, okay? This went way longer than I thought it would. I'm sorry. And I could have done this over several episodes, and maybe I should have, but one more, okay? From Vikram, big fan. My nephew and I followed you since your days on ESPN, First Take, and The Will Cain Show. I must say your show with Cerruti, Nuno, Mike A., and Pat is truly missed. That show was radio gold because it gave the listener a feeling of hanging out with a couple of buddies, talking sports, top five lists, busting each other's chops. Your work on ESPN really established the foundation for me to become one of your fans, and luckily, I was already a regular watcher of Fox News. Hey, perfect dovetail. So why do I now listen to the Will Cain podcast? Great question. I've thought about it off and on since I heard your show on Friday. I'm a conservative, America first, Trump Republican. I thought Vikram was interesting when we put it side by side with Philip. There are many different people here together in this community on the Will Cain podcast. Vikram goes on, I do admit that I have some blind spots when it comes to President Trump, but I'm always willing to listen to the other side, and I'm working on considering the opposing viewpoints. He puts in parentheses, I'm a work in progress. Aren't we all? The media in general nowadays is so skewed towards maligning President Trump and constantly misrepresenting stories about him that it's become nauseating to try to find a source that is objective. When I listen to your show, I absolutely get your opinion, but you always try to represent the other side as well. For example, when you covered the midterms, you had on Karl Rove, who is a never-Trumper and establishment Republican, and Juan Williams, a liberal Democrat. I appreciated those conversations because they were honest debate about the issues while not solely serving as a bash or blind support for Trump. Post-midterms, I've also appreciated how you've covered the results. He goes on to talk about some of my analysis from the midterms, pointing out that, you know, whether or not there were establishment Republicans that would have won instead of Trump Republicans, would it have mattered? Would they have effectuated change? I wanted to read a few more because I think he represents another contingency, a few more parts of his letter. The other reason I listen to you loyally is your knack to identify and pick stories that impact the American people. And most often we don't know the level of detail you share. The deep dives on the stories you cover are amazing because someone with no knowledge of the topic is properly educated on the story after listening. For example, the FTX cryptocurrency scandal, the Nord Stream pipeline story, even the World Cup, even your coverage of the World Cup for a novice like me. Another reason I listen is that you blend sports and politics and personal stories. Then he goes on to say, I don't give the Giants enough credit. He says, the personal stories are engaging, from picking your dog, your kids, traveling, OODA Loop, 75 Hard, all the other behind-the-scenes stuff. You may be a slow burn, as you say, but you're definitely someone that I'd want to get a beer with and talk current events, sports, and life in general. And then he ends his letter with hashtag StayMe70. It's an inside joke that goes way back. I'm not that hip on Twitter hashtags and Carmelo Anthony. StayMe70. Okay, so the long and short of it is, and I wove in some of my thoughts there as we listened to some of you and your feedback, which I all appreciate. And I read every single one of you guys on why you listen to the Will Cain podcast, is exactly this, that I want a community, and we have one. Okay, a community of people interested in ideas, interested in hearing and understanding how we arrive at these ideas, who wants to be better, who wants to be part of a community, who wants to be real and authentic, who don't want to be defined by our politics nor ignorant of our politics, who want to enjoy human beings for their sports and their life. And that is what I want to continue and what I will try to perfect and continue to build with you. And maybe one day I will do something, and maybe you will, that we can say, I'm impressed with myself. But my suspicion is, in the end, it will just be, did we make someone in our lives around us better?
All right, we're going to step aside here for just a moment. Stay tuned.
Story number three. My picks for the week. I've held you a long time today, so I don't want to go too long on sports, but here's what we've got. We've got NFL and we've got World Cup, okay? I'm going to get you set for the weekend on both. No college football until bowl season begins. All right, so let's go with just five picks in the NFL. Here's where I am. First of all, the Vikings take on the Detroit Lions in Detroit. Actually, the Lions are giving up 2.5 to the 10-2 Vikings. I'm sorry, my buddy Pete Hegseth. I'm going with the Lions. The Lions, I think, have covered the spread like 5 weeks in a row. And the Lions with Dan Campbell have, here's what I love, culture. I talked about this with Dan Dockich on his podcast or his show this week at Outkick. Big culture guy, right? That's why I like Jeff Saturday with the Colts. We're friends. I think he'll put into place a winning culture. Football is about, like a nation, culture. Because football is like the military. Basketball, soccer, creative like jazz. Football, rule-based like math. Do your job, in the famous words of Bill Belichick. Establish a winning culture where offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators and players can become interchangeable, like Nick Saban at Alabama, and you have established a winning culture. I believe that's what Dan Campbell is in the slow process of building. I do believe that Jeff Saturday would in Indianapolis as well if given the chance. And I think you're starting to see the fruits of that in Detroit. Don't think Minnesota's as good as their record. Give me Detroit minus 2.5. Eagles minus 7 at the Giants. I know one of my guys here just said, give the Giants more credit. I'm sorry, the bloom is coming off the rose. Your season is headed south. Eagles, meanwhile, look like the real deal. Give me the Eagles minus 7 against the Giants. The Ravens plus 2.5 visiting the Steelers. Lamar Jackson's been hurt. If Tyler Huntley, the backup, plays, here's the thing. Tyler Huntley can play not as good as, but similar to Lamar Jackson. I picked him up in fantasy football. He's got legs. He can run. And I think that against the Steelers D, I like the Ravens. Plus 2.5. Two more big games. Bucks plus 3.5 at San Francisco. Give me the Niners. Even with Brock Purdy at quarterback. Last pick of the NFL draft. Jimmy Garoppolo hurt. Out. Don't care. Give me the Niners. Why? Defensive line, offensive line. Niners, great defensive line. Bucks, horrible offensive line. Tom Brady's not going to have time. Brock Purdy, be a game manager. Niners win and cover the 3.5. Finally, Cowboys hosting the Texans. Cowboys giving up 16.5. Now, that's a lot of points in the NFL. And the NFL has a way of zigging when you think it should zag. Cowboys have been dominating. Wouldn't it be just like the NFL to give us a game against the terrible Texans and all of a sudden it's tight? Nope. Lay the 16.5. 16.5 in the NFL. Texans can't stop the run. Cowboys have Pollard and Zeke and can run. I don't see how. And with that defense against whoever plays quarterback, Davis Mills or Kyle Allen, or I don't even know who for the Texans. Micah Parsons rushing it. By the way, I didn't mention Micah Parsons in the conversation about Brittany Griner. Micah Parsons tweeted out something like, are you kidding? We left the Marine behind? Nah. And then he got crushed because he didn't take the side of Brittany Griner, the cause celeb. And he said, look, I come from a military family. I'm happy Brittany's home, but I can't believe you'd leave this guy behind. And then he said something like, we'll never vote for you, even if you get Brittany out. Talking to Biden. He did say, I'm not a Trump guy, not a Trump supporter, but not a Biden supporter either. How about Micah Parsons? Sacking quarterbacks and issues. Cowboys minus a million. Cowboys over Texans. Quickly, four games in the World Cup as we're in the quarterfinals. Here are all the games. I'll tell you the two I'm most interested in. The games are Portugal versus Morocco. The Morocco Cinderella story has to come to an end. Portugal is good and deep. Give me Portugal. Brazil versus Croatia. Brazil. I picked Brazil to win the whole thing. How cool is it in Brazil that everybody's just got like one name? That's a Portuguese thing too, right? Portugal has those guys as well, but Casemiro, Neymar, Richarlison, Rafinha. Like, all we get is Madonna, right? We need more, like, one-name people. We need more one-name sports stars in America. I mean, we kind of do it, like Brady, but Dak. But they don't put it on their jersey, like, just Dak. I don't know, I'm into the one-name Brazilian-Portuguese thing. Brazil over Croatia. My two favorite games. Argentina versus Netherlands. This is Messi, this is the World Cup of Messi so far, Lionel Messi. But I think it comes to an end. I do. I like the Netherlands. I like their organized play. I like their sneaky quality. I think Argentina always finds a way to disappoint. I'm taking the Netherlands. My favorite game of the week, France versus England. I won't miss it. No, almost all the players on both squads, they're both incredibly deep and good. Famous players all over the field. I will root for England, our brothers across the pond. I know all those players. I watch the English Premier League. I think France is too good. I think France is just solid and deep. And I think England, not unlike Argentina, has a way of disappointing. I'm going to pick France against England. That's the game you don't want to miss of the four. Catch the World Cup as we head now down toward the final. That was a long episode. That was way longer than I thought it was going to be. I'm tired today from how much talking I did. I really appreciate your feedback on why you listen to the Will Cain podcast, okay? We'll keep our communication going together. We'll keep this community building. And I will see you again next time. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcast and Amazon Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.